Red and ATL coming to you from the lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia, with my guy here, Jay Henry. Jay coming from the windy city of Chicago. Jay, how's it going?
Cold, man. It's cold and windy now.
So we should add, in addition to cold and windy city of Chicago, and joined here by my Yoda cup. You know what I mean? It was coffee time, Jay. I don't know if you can see that Yoda best right there. It's probably backwards. It looks like it's backwards on that side there. But it's a Yoda best cup right there. You know what I mean?
He speaks backwards, so you straight. Yeah, he speaks backwards. So, you know, man, if it was backwards, that means that's the right way with the cup, man. You good.
You know, it's funny because I read this article. We got an article on the screen here with this guy. And let me see if I can even attempt to. It's like Inar Narayan Murthy. And this brought up an interesting subject here that we're going to discuss. And that's kind of work-life balance. And me and you've talked about this before when it came to like the gig economy. We talked about it in certain ways, Jace, because in our world, he's advocating for a 70-hour work week for people. I think it was like under 30. He did give it like an age because I felt like there is that's kind of necessary to a certain degree because I feel like you're getting it in. You're trying to find yourself when you're younger, man. You know what I mean? You still have a lot of that hustle. You're getting it in. You're not really settled and having a lot of the things that kind of anchor you down when you get older, when people tend to have families and obligations and stuff like that kind of anchor them down schedule wise. When you're young, you tend to have a little bit more of that free time, energy, all that good stuff. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people in this generation, they're not really going for it. And I applaud that. So what I see is a lot of them being like, nah, bro, we're just not going to do it. We're not going. They're looking at people from previous generations that have worked their freaking lives away and have nothing to show for it or they're barely getting by, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Work and money. And I just talked to some friends about this is work and money don't love you the way you love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You will be out of here. You could work for a company 15, 20 years, Jay, and you can be out of here. Whether that company is laying people off, look at AI, right? If AI makes your job not necessary, why would they keep you? Would you keep you if it was your company? You probably wouldn't. You know what I mean? So when you're thinking about things like that, you got to think about the fact that if you can work your entire life and then anything can happen, broken bone, if it's a job where you got to do something physical, death in the family, maybe you got to step away for a month or so. And then people get a little funny, these attitudes that where you thought it was a family, you thought it was love, right? And those attitudes change a little bit. Like, hey, we do love you, but you weren't here the last month. You're like, well, I had a death in the family. I had to step away. I had things I had to do. Well, we need that productivity now. All the 10 to 15 years you put in ahead of this aren't really going to mean much. So let's talk a little bit about, the difference, Jay. Because, you know, when we were growing up, it was a kind of like you just need to do it type of world we lived in, right? Like it was a do it or else type of world we live in versus now these kids will just walk out. You know, I've seen from managing now from how I was managed is I'm seeing I have to manage a lot differently now because people will definitely walk out on you. What is your thoughts on kind of like how that was different for us? And then we'll kind of get into his 70-hour work week situation.
Well, you know, me and you are Generation X, and we come from that era. Like, it's kind of a funny era we both come from because we saw the traditional standard of, you know, the 9-to-5 job of, you know, and then the process of what we would go through to, you know, get a degree, go to school, go to college, get a degree. And then because we earned a 4-year degree, it basically was a unofficial message to, you know, possible employers that, okay, this person had enough diligence and discipline to stay in an institution to learn something for 4 years and earn a degree for a certification or whatever you want to call it. And that was the basic model for the workforce world in our time, in our parents' time, in our parents' parents' time. You know, to get a job at one point in time was a big deal. You know, to work for a company that made, you know, if not billions of dollars, millions of dollars, or hundreds of thousands of dollars, that was a big deal back then. especially for our people, right? So,
Yeah.
to even work at an important, because I mean, we rarely would get a promotion, or something like that. I mean, if we did, we had to have, three certifications, 4 degrees, 8 more certifications on the side. It's like we had to really bust our butt. So, all that aside or whatever, the political stuff aside or whatever like that, that was just the model back then. Whereas now there are more platforms for people to be their own boss. It's not to say that the grind is not going to be there.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
And it's not to say that you still won't have to put in, certain time and certain, just certain things in order to that grind to be there in your youth or whatever like that. But it's what are you putting the grind in for? Because, and I know you don't want to touch on this just yet, but it's kind of dipping our toes in the water with the 70-hour work what this man is doing. Here's the thing. There were jobs out there that existed where, I don't know if it was 70 hours a week, but it was doggone near that, where, depending on the job. Like, case in point, I want to say years ago, way before the pre-pandemic, I was driving for Lyft, and this young lady got in my car, and she looked like she was sick, but she was just really tired. And I said, "Are you all right?" And, we got into a conversation. I said, "Well, what do you do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?" And she says, "I'm an international investment banker." And
they work crazy hours, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is that jobs like this already exist. They've been existing for a long time. Depending on how successful you wish to be, it's going to require more grind, more hours. So there are certain departments or of the workforce world that already exist where more will be required of you. More will be, there's more of you that will be needed as far as hours, time, focus. That it's just, it goes without saying. So the fact, that he wants to add 70 hours, it's a little, and then it's the time that we're in now. Where it, right. You know what? Not even the time that we're in now. It's people are either going to work or they're not.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you want to add 30 more hours on the week, like, bro, like, honestly, that's not, it's like somebody slapping a Band-Aid on something saying, here's going to fix the problem. It's not. And I'm looking at how old this guy is, and yeah, he's coming from a different generation. So he's coming from this generation where we need to be. And then he probably might even say some stuff that we might agree with, like the discipline, the focus, the drive.
There are some things. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, when we dive into the article, we're definitely going to go through, because there are some things, Jay, they're good, back and forth. Like, I think from his perspective, and you know what? Let's just scroll down and see. From his perspective, it's more so for young Indians here, because this is in India. That's where he's based at. And you see a lot of this in Asian cultures in general. There's like the 996, that's 9 to 9, 6 days a week, by the way. That's a solid, 72 hours right there. So basically he's saying he wants them to work the 70 hours a week to help India's economy in general, to help kind of raise it out of, to turn it into like a capitalist, like, not necessarily powerhouse, but like you said, a global economic leader is what he wants to do. And I wanted to kind of frame it in a certain way, because I don't want to make it just seem like the guy just some kind of tyrant. But at the end, he has, his motivation can be good in the sense of he's hoping to uplift this whole country with like a harder work ethic, and then kind of lift them out of a certain type of poverty situation, which would be different in India than it would be in here. But at the same time, the problem that exists is still only having so much life, right? No matter where you are on earth, you only have so much life. And I think a lot of people in these Asian, especially a lot of the younger people, if you look at how a lot of them are even bucking on the 996 situation, they're not even, they're like, no, that's crazy amount of hours. And recently in Korea, they wanted to, I think, change the work week to about 60 hours or so, 60, 70 hours. I got to look and see what that was, but they wanted to add some hours, and people kind of bucked on that a little bit. And I think that what it comes down to is preference, Jay. You got to look at your life and look at what your preference is, right? Like, what is your overall arch and goal? And I think you touched on something that is very interesting in the sense of it doesn't mean the work stops. Just because you're not working for somebody else for 70, 80 hours a week doesn't mean you're sitting at home eating Cheetos on the couch watching television
all
the time. And a lot of times, Jay, it can mean that you're working harder in other areas because those other areas might be underpaid areas. If you're working on a business and you're trying to get that business off the ground, you own a job in those first few years. You don't own a business, bro. You own a job and you're going to that job and it's an underpaid job. You're going there to that business. You're trying to get it off the ground. You don't have that stability that somebody could just go sit in an office for, you know, 60, 70 hours a week and have. But you're building towards your future in hopes that you can have a little bit more of freedom in your life. Does that make sense, Jared? Right.
Absolutely. Look, we all want – even back in the day when I was working the 9-to-5 jobs, all of our goals were financial freedom. You know, that whole thing where, you know, where we want to be able to, I don't care what kind of 9-to-5 job somebody's working. If they're in a position where they have more freedom to move around, to, you know, do what it is they would like to do, take a vacation at the drop of a hat, even tell, you know, certain people, look, I ain't coming in today. You know, I'm taking a day off. I'm doing what I need to do, and say it with confidence like that. I mean, who wouldn't take that opportunity? You know, and so we're in an age right now where, you know, I'm trying to keep it clean on your show. We're in an age right now where, you know, people are realizing I want to work for myself. I want to do for myself, you know, to the point where it doesn't feel like a job or whatever like that. You know, I want to be at a level of F you, you know, where if you tell me something and I don't agree with it, I'm not worried about the next words coming out my mouth affecting my livelihood. I'm not worried about the next words coming out my mouth affecting my promotion or my bonus or whatever like that. I'm not worried about that. Because, see, I'm at a level now of, like, I'm going to say what's on my mind. And if I don't agree with it, guess what? I'm up. I'm an asset to your company or to whatever you got going on. And if you don't agree with that, hey, that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. I got enough going on in my bank account and in my personal life to the point where I can leave. I'm good. You know, or whatever like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's just how I feel about that. I mean,
now, when we come to, like, let's talk a little bit about the difference between the fine line between laziness and wanting the freedom in life, right? Because back in the day, if you were under anything under 40, my day, Lord forbid you work 25, 30 hours, that was straight laziness in my household. It'd be like, yo, bro, you're just lazy. What are you doing? Why are you not at work, right? You know what I mean? That's kind of how the thought pattern was. Now you're seeing these kids, and a lot of people, you see people like influencers. These kids are using social media to pop off different little businesses here and there. And a lot of people have, I would say it's not necessarily get off my lawn-ish, but I do see a lot of people from an older generation looking down on that kind of work. Like, kids should just be in factories, or only really hard work out there is construction on the corner, or if they're doing, if they're in the office, almost 100 hours a week, you know, there, why are you going home at 5? You should be going home at 6, 7, like the rest of us type thing, you know. These jobs, once again, I'm gonna repeat this several times throughout this show. Money and work doesn't love you the way that you love it. You got to find out what you like, because for some people, Jay, if you like the job, in my opinion, all bets are off. Like, because then it's not really like work for you, right? Like, if you enjoy the job, like, say there's an accountant, and it may be so hard for people to imagine somebody like an accountant, but let's say that that's somebody's thing and they really do like it, then go to work 100 hours a week. Like, it's not really the same for them as it is for somebody who's just trying to get through a job. What do you think about stuff like that, Jay?
Okay. First off, the influencer thing. I think that we do have some successful influencers. You know, whether they're positive.
What is that definition? Is that just having over a certain amount of followers? I got, or is that a certain amount of income affecting people, that they're bringing kinda, in?
The influencer, meaning that they're having, to me, this is because I don't know the term, right, the, you know, the urban term right offhand right now, but I do know that influencers have a platform. They have a niche as far as maybe, for instance, somebody likes to cook. So they came up with a platform for cooking. They're, you know, they're a chef or something like that, or a chef to be, and they're sharing their opinion, perspective, and thoughts about, you know, cooking certain dishes or whatever like that. You know, some people actually come in with a platform. Others, as we have seen, like the Jake and Logan Paul.
I had a little definition here that just popped up on Google.
Is someone who, persuade others to do, buy, or use the same things that they do. Perfect example. Yep. Influencers have a following, a specific niche. Yep, I said niche. And they actively engage their audience. They can affect the purchasing decisions of others because of their authority, knowledge, position, relationship with their audience, and not to mention their marketability. If they look good,
I don't think anything's wrong with any of this, right, Jay? At the end of the day, if people are making money off you, you should be making some of that money yourself, right? Even if it's just taking pictures, you should be privy to some of that money.
Consumer society. Well, you know, and like you asked me, it's like, what do I think about that? I think, listen, if you're going about it the right way, meaning, you know, you're putting in the hours, you're putting in the grind, because listen, there's a lot of influencers and people who use social media that they, you know, who made it and are successful. They even share their success story, like, you know, whenever they get on these talk shows or interviewed by, you know, these famous interviewers or whatever like that, or well-known interviewers, where they'll be like, dude, I didn't get money until I got 4 million followers, or until I got, you know, this X amount of followers, whatever like that. So when they had a million, they're like, dude, I was still in my mother's basement creating these videos, hoping, you know, there's a grind involved in everything. Now the flip side of that is you have people that are just looking at the bag, right? It's a lazy way of going about the hustle, because they're thinking, well, I'm going to make money overnight. I'm going to get this many followers. And then when they realize what it truly takes to build their platform, build their following, it wears them out, because it becomes like a job to them. And they realize, oh man, it ain't going to happen like this. Or like the same thing with people podcasting. You love what you do.
I do.
And I'm sure we spoke on this before, but we would all love to get a Spotify deal like Joe Rogan did. But let's look at Joe Rogan. He was doing interviews in his platform before podcasting even became a thing.
About 12 years in the game, my friend.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're going to put some skin in the game before anything comes your way. And that's the lazy part about it. And that's just people. Now, that's how you know somebody's just being lazy, when they're just trying to skip to something purely for the bag, purely for the money, the bands. So, and then when they don't get what they think they should get within a week's worth of time or 72 hours, now they're moving on to the next. And they're making as many legitimate, justified excuses as they can as to why, well, it wouldn't work out for me. Oh man, the production was whack, and the equipment wasn't working. Like, okay, you could have fixed it.
Yeah, man.
You know, I didn't get as many guests. Well, you got to push your platform. What you doing to push your platform? You, what's your marketing strategy? Oh, I don't want to go into it right now. You know, that's lazy.
You know, what's interesting here is, I think that this should be a perspective that just evolves over time. I mean, sometimes work just changes, you know what I mean? And people have a problem, I think, dealing with that if they feel like they've been on the other side of that situation. If you feel like, hey, well, I've been working in this factory this whole, you know, for 15, 20 years, I waited for my pension and all that stuff. They did things a certain way. But everybody's entitled to their own way of seeing life and wanting to do things. Like, you don't owe people thinking that you're working hard just because they're thinking that you're working hard. You know what I mean? You don't owe people. You shouldn't have guilt if you only work 2 days a week and you're making X amount of dollars. Don't feel guilty about that. You know what I mean? That's your job. That's your life. That's the route that you decided to choose to go. When I was growing up, it was just a 40 hour, bro. You weren't getting 40, you weren't working.
Well, that, and here's my thing. I'm an independent contractor now, and I come from the 9-to-5 world. And I used to think, my mentality in the beginning was, let me find a job where I can get more money, especially as inflation would, you know, always go up as far as the cost of living, cost of rent, you know, everything. I just, my solution back then was, well, I got to get a different job that's going to make me, you know, back in the day, it was like with the early 2000s, even late 90s, if I can get me a job that makes $100,000 a year, I'm set for life. Whereas now my mentality is, you know, as an independent contractor, I don't have to get up at a certain time and report to this desk or report to this cubicle or report to this. It feels great. You know, I'm on my own schedule. I'm on my own time. Dude, I work at two gyms. I'm a gym rat. I love working out. I love being healthy. I love my life. And I feel so much healthier. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of ups and downs, even in my lifestyle, where, you know, it's like, well, how am I going to do this and how am I going to do this? Not to mention, I'm a voice actor. So I'm a voice actor. I'm a boxing instructor. I'm a swimming instructor. I want to continue to add on to my skill set to continue my movement in life as far as what I like to do. But I'm not going to sit up here and say, oh, I'm rich as Bezos or something like that, because I'm not. But at the same time, I feel richer in my time. I feel richer with the decisions that I'm making. I feel richer in conversations I may have with certain people, like the one I shared with you with my boss, because instead of me worrying about my livelihood being compromised, I'm actually, you know, I'm actually stepping into a situation where I know I hold value. I'm not holding it over anyone's head, but at the same time, I know what I'm bringing to the table. And like you just got finished saying, you know, when you go to a job, we feel like we're owed this validation because, oh, I've been in the company for this many years and I've done this or whatever like that. And there's a sense of pride and, you know, comes with that where it's like, hey, I love this job. But like you said, just like that whole street mentality, you may love the streets, but the streets don't love you back. It's the same thing in the legal world where you may love the job. You may love, and people may see how dedicated you are to the brand, to the company, to everything, but you're not the founder. You never got promoted. And when the doors close on the company because they got bought out or they're taking a buyout because the founders and the people want to live their life. I mean, you're lucky if you get a nice severance package.
Lucky, because that's not guaranteed, right?
Severance
could come and it could not.
Sometimes, dude, confetti. We wish y'all well. Doors are closing.
Oh my God,
you guys have been great. You've been awesome. No money involved. Nothing. No benefits. Nada. They up. So
you know
what that. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, Jay. You know, at the end of the day, I think that if we approach things in the sense that nobody's owed anything from a job standpoint or from a life standpoint. So when I go to a business, I don't feel like that business owes me. You know what I mean? I'm doing a service for that business, and that business is doing. I always looked at it like a partnership as my later life in the last like 10 years or so. Since I've had my computer started, my computer started in 2014. So it's since 2014 to now, I've always looked at any place that I worked at like a partnership. They provide me with what I'm looking for. I provide them with what they need. I'm going to come in. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to give it my 100% with whatever we decide to do. But I always maintain the flexibility that I know I can walk away. You know what I mean? And that freedom for me has been golden. It's been golden for me because at the end of the day,
I carry that with you. Yeah. You have that. You know what? People can sense that. People can sense that type of energy too. People can sense what when you have value or when you're desperate. You know how like when people joke around where it's like, yo, don't go to that girl all thirsty because she can smell your desperation. It's the same thing with business. It's the same thing when you're doing business and you're trying to, yo, man, I want to cop this deal. I want to, you know, I can safely say this. Whenever I do like voiceover gigs now, you know, because I've been into the game almost, it's about to be 8 years now. when I've been in the voiceover game as long as I have, you know, I'll say it like this. Listen, I still love when I cut a nice check. Love it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to lie. But the first thing that comes to my mind when someone wants to do business with me is, okay, what's the brand? What's the platform? What are we doing? The first thing in my mind in that, look, it's like maybe second or third or fourth sometimes. It's the top three or four, the top 10. But, you know, pay is in there. I'm thinking about pay. I'm always thinking about pay. But at the same time,
absolutely.
Right. Well, you look, it is what it is. I'm thinking about pay. But my first question is, okay, where's the project? What's the purpose of this project? What are we doing? Am I going to be comfortable with it? Does the dollars make sense or does it just make sense? Because sometimes people will try to pay you beer money for a champagne reading. Tells me how many businesses he owns and how he has some businesses here on the south side of Chicago. I'm the south side of. And for what they were paying me for to shoot every day, I would, you know, go into the, you know, the thing and do this. Well, they finally needed me to do a voiceover read. And there was a miscommunication with, because they wanted me to read a certain amount of, you know, scripts. Well, I told them, this is what I charge per script. Now, the guy who I finally met, who owns this business, just got finished telling me. He didn't give me an exact amount of money he's making. You know, but you're telling me you own all these businesses, which, translation, I make a lot of money. Okay, good for you. So you paying me per script shouldn't be a problem. Instead, you want a penny pinch and pay me what I would charge per script for just the entire scripts that you wanted me to read. That's what I look at when I'm dealing with business and being willing to have enough courage to just take it on the chin and walk away and not get paid at all.
Well, you know, Jay,
you know, go ahead.
I was going to say I've seen this quite often, and I feel like it's just I'm going to assume this was in America, right? This is in this country.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that a lot of people, if they can pay you a dime to do a dollar's worth of work, they're going to try it. I think that's universal culturally, right? Like, we're all going to try, gonna at least try it. I think that what makes you what can make things different is them trying that with everybody and then coming across people who may have more value in themselves and more value in their own work or don't have to take that opportunity. You know what I mean? Because right. Some people are in positions, Jay, where they gotta take any opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, bills are real, and some people are in positions where they gotta take any dollar. And I feel like a lot of companies are gonna try you. They're gonna at least ask. You know, I used to work for a guy. And a guy here in Atlanta, and you know, downtown we had a studio, right? It's like a little audio engineering type situation. And right. When I tell you, dude was a penny pincher, bro. Like, I don't even, if I could go below a penny, I would say he was below sub penny pincher what he would try to pay. And sometimes he didn't tell them till after the work. It was very shady business practices in that sense. I learned a lot of what not to do. I'm hearing this dude from New York, quite a character. I
go.
Really like
the line.
But I did learn a lot from him how not to approach certain business decisions. You know what I mean? Because I feel like at the end of the day, Jay, business is business and people are going to try you, right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate and it can affect the personal side of things at times for me. Like, you know, the story I shared with you earlier, unfortunately, but it, in turn with you know what? Here's the thing about situations like that. You learn a lot about yourself, you know, like the type of person you are. because this story could have been real different if you've been like, yo, man, I learned a lot from him and I save a lot of money, you know, or whatever like that, because you might man, be as pension as him.
This is Reg and HL. Check us out. Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. See you next time, guys.